to stand down here so he could hear the music because he was too close to me and wanted to actually be in tune. But Lori and Deb have great patience and do a great job. We're a motley crew, but we have fun doing it. Now, you guys have a tough act to follow because every Sunday I take the youth. Many times we go to Krispy Kreme, around a dozen donuts. Nothing gets you more spiritual like hot sugar. And I have the message outline, and we just talk about the message. I stopped doing a separate lesson for them, figuring that they were in on this in this hour. And so they don't have the message outline. We just talk about the theme of the sermon, and they pretty much nailed it this morning. Now, you guys have the answers. So I hope you can shine compared to them, because what I read that passage and opened up with was basically what I'm proposing to you is, why do you think God chose Mary? What I asked the youth this morning. Why Mary? Why her? Of all people. And then if you answer that question, which they did a great job of, why, who does he choose still today? Does God still choose people to use and to work through? They said he did. What type of people does God choose to work through? In fact, the Bible says God is looking for people to use. And in fact, if you'll let him, he will wear you out if you are available and willing. And so not only does he want to use you, but he's eager. He limits himself. He wants to work through people just like you in ways you've never imagined. And so since it's Christmas season, this morning I want us to focus on Mary. Now, there are a lot of misconceptions about Mary. And why Mary? Why did God choose Mary over all of the other women that he could have chosen? There are church practices and beliefs that I really can't support in Scripture that say Mary should be deified, Mary should be worshipped, Mary was sinless and perfect, Mary stayed a virgin and had no other children. All of these things are taught in churches in America. I don't see anything in Scripture that supports that. In fact, I would propose to you, what is so special about Mary is her plain ordinariness. She was just ordinary. And that's who God chooses to use still today. So God took an ordinary woman. God still chooses ordinary people still today. And he chooses to do extraordinary things through them. So, why Mary? Wasn't because of her education or her degree. She didn't have any. Wasn't because of her age and experience, maturity. She was a teenager. Wasn't because of her socioeconomic position in life, because she was poor. God chose Mary because she trusted God. She had all kinds of fears. She had all kinds of apprehensions. If God spoke to you today and told you to do something that you had no idea was coming, came out of left field, you would experience the same thing I would propose to you that Mary did. But instead, she models something beautiful. In Luke 1 that I read to you, if you want to open that, keep your outline there. When the angel came, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. And so he explains to Mary what's going to happen. God is going to invade human history. The most significant thing in the story of man on earth is about to take place. Creator is about to become creation. He explains this and says, I'm going to use you to do that, Mary. And so what's her initial shock? It says right in the passage there. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be frightened, Mary, the angel told her, for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. And that Greek word there for confused, it depends on your English translation, but in mine it's confused and disturbed. That word literally means petrified, scared to death, just shaking, taken aback. And she had every reason to be frightened in a horrible way, but she didn't let her fears control her. God says, you're going to be the mother of God, of Jesus Christ. What kind of fears would come up if you had that conversation? Fear of criticism. What's everybody going to think? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. Fear of the supernatural. How is that going to happen? That's not possible. How am I going to partner with God physically? I'm a virgin. How is that going to happen? The fear of inadequacy. Why me? How can I handle this? All the issues that I believe I have, and trepidations, fear of change. Wait a second here. How is this going to change my life? Things are just starting to come together. I'm beginning to see a future here. Those are the same fears that still hit people today when God intervenes in their life and speaks to them and says, I want to use you for my will. So three things you see in your outline there. The type of person God uses. God uses people who desire to do his will. God uses people who decide to pay the cost. Always a cost in following Christ in your life. Three, God uses people who dare to trust his promise. So if you will be aware, if you will build these three things into your faith life, who you are as a believer, you will find that God will use you in ways that you can't imagine. Will you see an angel? Perhaps not. Will he speak to you in an audible, physical way? Perhaps not. Does God still choose and work through people just like you today? Certainly. So look at the first one. God uses people who desire to do his will. You have got to get to a point in your life where more than anything else you say, I want to do your will, Father. You've got to be able to say, I want God's plan for my life. Not my plan, not what's comfortable, not what I want to see happen, because God has a custom plan. It's not automatic. It isn't some blanket thing. But just for you, the way he's wired you up, where he's put you in space and time, and how he wants to use you, God has a purpose for your life, and you can miss it if you aren't willing and able. So the angel shows up to Mary. You know what, Mary? God's got this fantastic plan. He's going to come to earth so that you, mankind, will know what God's like. You're not going to believe it, how he's choosing to come. Mary, he's going to use you as a vehicle, as the method. He is going to partner with you, use your body, if you will. And then think about that. Why on earth did he come as a baby? You ever wonder that? Why would God become creation in the form of a little child in a manger? Well, he didn't want to frighten us. I mean, how many times in Scripture do you see heavenly beings that just literally terrify people, angels and so forth? And the first words out of their mouth are, don't be afraid, you know, it's okay. Well, he didn't want to frighten us. He could have come with 1,000 chariots of fire and millions of angels and just some incredible way. But instead he says, I'm going to come as this little baby boy so no one will fear. Came into the world, secondly, the way everybody does, by birth. Do you think God wanted us to know that he could relate to the human experience, that he could relate to our feelings, that he could relate to the physical limitations that we have on this side of life? That we could understand he really does know what we go through, who we are. He can identify with us. We can identify with him because of how he did it. So God tells Mary, you're going to be the mother of Jesus Christ. You'll be the vehicle I enter the world. Mary's response, Luke 1, 46, 48. My soul praises the Lord. My heart rejoices in God my Savior, because he has shown his concern for his humble servant girl. Mary didn't say, find somebody else. Mary didn't say, hey, things are really tight for me right now. Mary didn't say, you know what, I've got to decide my plan and my ambitions and my career, and I'm just getting ready. You know, I've got all of these dreams and hopes, and this really isn't convenient with my plan. And I'm not sure that that's what's best for me. People say that to God? Sure, all the time. But Mary didn't decline God's will. It says she wanted it. Here's her response. My soul praises God. She desired God's will for her life more than anything else. It's the first reason God chose her. God uses people that want to be used. And so the question this morning is, do you want to be used? Two attitudes Mary showed us. Got to have in your life if God's going to work in your life. One, enthusiasm. She said, my soul praises the Lord, my heart rejoices. Now this is no grin and bear it. God's going to use me, you know. Let's get it over with, and I'll move on. It's not a matter of acceptance or tolerance. This is eagerness we see here. God says, I want to use you. Mary says, you can use me for whatever it is because you made me. This is what I was meant to be used for, if you say so. And nothing great is ever done for God without enthusiasm. And where we get that English word enthusiasm, two Greek words, in and theos, which means in God. I see some of you that have walked with the Lord for years. And I can see when we get in passages of Scripture how excited you get and enthusiastic and just break into praise. Enthusiasm in the human condition comes from being in God. That's where that comes from. And if you're in God, you'll be enthusiastic. Second quality is humility. It says, thank you for thinking of your humble servant girl. She just says, I'm a humble servant girl. And the point is this. None of us deserve to be used by God. We are all trophies of His grace. We are all even at the foot of the cross. And yet God chooses to work in us, through us, bless us, not because we deserve it, not because of any great skill or ability, but because He desires it, and we're willing just to humbly say, thank you, Lord, for using me. Thank you for working in my life. The Bible calls David this, a man after God's own heart, Scripture says. Why? David said, I desire to do your will, O my God. Paul said, our only goal is to please God. Do you see what's running through those verses in Scripture? Is that your only goal? Is that my only goal? One of the reasons that God chose Mary is because she has a listening ear, discerning to the things of God, tuned in. And so in Luke 2:19, it says, Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and often thought about them. Note that, often. She had a habit of listening to God and running through in her mind what God has told her. And God always seeks and speaks to people who can hear that still small voice. What do you desire most in life? Seek first His kingdom and all these other things will be added unto you. Starts with desire. Look at number two. God uses people who decide to pay the cost. There is always a cost in following God. Do you think there was a cost for Mary? Oh, yeah. God's plan for your life always comes with a cost. And so if you were to say to God, God, this next year, I want to be closer to you. I want to be more tuned in to the things of you. I want your will for my life. I want your plan. I want to be in the sweet spot, just the center of what you want me to do and accomplish through me. It's going to cost you big time. You're going to have to give up some stuff. There will be a cost. There will always be risk. It will require faith. It will require stepping out in the unknown to do some things you might be scared to do, stepping out in faith. And Mary said, you know what? I have decided that God's will, most of all, I'm willing to take the chance. I'm willing to risk it all. I'm willing to pay the cost. Luke 1:38, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to do whatever He wants. May everything you said come true. Mary said, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want. I could say no. She had a choice. Imagine the cost you would have to pay to be the mother of Jesus Christ in her situation. Cost her a reputation. Had this discussion this morning with a youth. In fact, Glenn, I said, if your daughter came home and said, Dad, I'm pregnant, but I'm a virgin, what would be your response, Glenn? Probably wouldn't be good if it was my daughter. And Sarah says, But Dad, it's God. How would you handle that? This is just a normal young girl, a virgin. This isn't anything special going on here. She's a virgin. She's pregnant. She's engaged to be married to Joseph. Okay? How are you going to explain that to everybody in your community, in your family? Her reputation. Jesus is 30 years old before he starts doing miracles to attest who he is, that he is God. And you've got to go all that time having a child when you're a virgin, when you're not married? What will everybody think? I'm single. I'm pregnant. And the baby's going to be God? Right. What will my parents think? My friends think? What will Joseph think? I'm about to lose the man that I love more than anything and everything that I want to spend my life with. Joseph, by the way, I'm pregnant and you're not the father. But it's God. You going to buy that? Mary probably thought, I will lose everything over this. Would you believe a story? The point is, if you get serious about God's plan for your life, God will say, I'm going to do whatever I want to accomplish through you, but I want you to be willing to allow me to do whatever it is that needs to take place in and through your life. And there will be people who misunderstand that and who judge you, people who criticize you. Your plan may change. It may be different. You can count on it. But if you really want God's plan for your life, you have to be prepared that there will be people that are unhappy about it and criticize you. Mary sacrificed her reputation. It cost her comfort. The Bible says Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. She's in Nazareth. 9 months pregnant. Long journey on the back of a donkey. Having a baby with livestock, with no family near you except yourself. Teenage peasant girl, cold barn, foreign city, no family support. Is that easy? It cost her her comfort. And a baby's going to be born? And then you hear the king wants to kill your baby and you have to flee to another country, to Egypt? You think that's easy? It cost her her comfort. Boy, we're into our comfort today. And God's purpose for your life will include some problems. The angel, God chose Mary. The angel said, this is what's going to happen. Was it all a cakewalk? No. There were problems involved. It wasn't accidental. It was part of the plan. It was part of the cost. There is always a cost. And Jesus is very upfront about it. He said, no one can be my disciple who doesn't carry his own cross, but don't begin until you count the cost. Jesus says, do not commit your life to me until you have really considered it. Paul says in Philippians 3:7, all these things that I once thought were very worthwhile, now I've thrown them all away so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. Paul understood there were incredible costs, but he said, you know what? The benefits are without compare. All these things that I thought were so cool and so important and my priorities and values held them in high esteem, it doesn't matter anymore and I've dumped it all so I can follow the will of my Lord. He's got a plan for my life. He made me who I am and he wants to use me. What am I willing to give up in order to be used by God? Am I willing to give up stuff, people, plans, employment, area that I live in? Step one, desire God's will for your life more than anything else. Step two, decide to pay the cost. That's why God chose Mary. And then look at step three. God uses people who dare to trust his promises. People of faith are who God chooses because it does take risks. It does take courage to be used by God. You see that in Mary. Courage doesn't mean you're not afraid. Courage doesn't mean that there aren't problems you're apprehensive about, but courage is moving ahead in spite of your fear. I believe God wants me to do this, and I am going to do it at all costs. I don't know what it means. I don't know where it's going to lead, but I'm in. Mary didn't have all the answers, but she was a person of deep faith because she trusted him. She wasn't afraid of the supernatural, wasn't afraid of miracles. Luke 1, 34, 35, 37. See it in your outline there in the Living Bible paraphrase. Mary asked the angel, "But how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of God shall overshadow you, for every promise from God shall surely come true." Note that, every promise. God uses people still today who dare to trust His promises. God did miracles in Mary's life. Mary had every reason to be worried. She's going to carry this great responsibility. She doesn't know how any of it's going to turn out, and yet in spite of this, it says Mary worshipped. Luke 1, Mary's song of worship. Instead of worrying, she worshipped. Instead of panicking, she praised and praised. Jesus says, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Mary's cousin understood this third reason. Elizabeth said, "You believe that God would do what He said. That's why He has given you this wonderful blessing." So God uses people who desire His will, who decide to pay the cost, who dare to trust His promises, and then step out and do it. Let me repeat that. God uses people who desire to do His will more than anything else, who decide to pay the cost, who dare to trust His promises, and then step out and do something about it. And if God can take a teenage girl, a poor peasant teenager with no education, and esteem and choose her to be the mother of Jesus Christ, don't you think that whatever excuses you could come up with in your life are pretty puny for why you're not letting God have all of your life and use you in whatever way He chooses? Because many of us have enormous, many of you have enormous spiritual potential. You may not see it, but God sees it. I see it. You have enormous spiritual potential. God has gifted you and wired you up and created you and talented you, given you health and freedom, put you in a place and time with a sharp mind and talents and abilities. He doesn't mean for you just to use them for yourself or to get through this life of flesh. One day you'll stand before God and He will say, "What did you do with this, that, ability, gift, talent, opportunity?" And He will say, "Were you willing to be used by me? Were you willing to say, 'God, anywhere, any place, at any cost, any time, I'm your man?'" Whatever it means. If it means putting my agenda, my goals, my comfort, my plans, my financial package on the line, go ahead, God, because I am full in. I cannot stand another day without your will being completely accomplished in my life. But it starts with a desire. I can't go another day without saying, "Jesus Christ, own me completely. Make me what you want me to be. Use me. I'm willing to be the person that you designed to accomplish what the purpose is for my life. It may scare me. I may have to overcome fears of the unknown. I may have to focus on it through all the things that distract me." But what do we know? We know God loves us. God says you matter to Him more than anything else. God has your best interest at heart. He cares about you. He knows what will make you happy more than we do. We can know all of that for sure, so we should not have any problems in trusting a God that is like that. So it's Christmas time. Let me ask you a very personal question as we close this point. What are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? It's His birthday. You buy gifts for the birthday boy. You buy gifts for everybody else at Christmas, typically. But what are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? What can I give God? He's got everything. What do you give somebody that's got everything? Jesus has everything. He's God. No, He doesn't. He doesn't have all of you. He doesn't have all of me unless we give it to Him. And my suggestion is that this Christmas, your Christmas gift to Christ is that you say, God, here I am. Here we are, your church. Take all of me, the good, the bad, the ugly. Take it, break it, make it, mold it, form it. Do whatever you want with it because I am, we are yours in 2012. Let's pray. Father God, we've got to sell out. We can't hold anything back anymore. We want to be what you made us to be all along. We've got to be willing to write in that Christmas card to you, Dear Jesus Christ, I desire to do your will. More than anything else that I want in my life for me, I desire to do your will. Lord, today I am deciding to pay the cost. Whatever it takes, wherever it leads, whatever it costs, whatever you ask me to give up, I will not be satisfied with second best. I want to be what you designed me to be and how you want to use me. I want to be used by you. I want to feel your presence in my life. Lord, I dare to trust your promises. What seems impossible to me is possible with you. Help me to be that person of faith and trust so that more and more each day I see, I hear, and I expect you to work in my life. Love. Merry Christmas.